Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go, Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin 6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. You never believe you're out of a game. Where did that come from?
It's having some pride. Having belief.
And Dusty, the fan man, Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
All right, 1 hour down. Two more to go on this Friday.
Weekend almost here.
Woohoo! And we are starting off hour number two with heavy hitter, my friend of the show, Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. You can find him on TNT, host of the Post Up podcast with Chris Haynes. My friend, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Are you getting a chance to breathe? Because my gosh, I don't know that there was a harder working man, maybe Damian Lillard, in this NBA season than you. You were all over the place and you were just in Vegas for Team USA. Are you getting a chance to catch your breath?
Yeah, I got after Vegas, I went back to Phoenix and covered game. What was that? Game 5. And then I didn't go to game 6. Kind of regretting that a little bit. I thought this series would go 7. And so I've been home since game 5. And so, yeah, I'm being able to get some rest before the draft.
Good. Yeah. No rest for the weary. That's like next week, isn't it? Jeez. We don't talk about the draft much here in Portland. Not much going on with the draft in Portland, but plenty going on with the Blazers. So you had a great piece with Damian Lillard when he was with Team USA. I kind of want to pick your brain a little bit more on just where things stand, in your opinion, between Dame and the Blazers. He's obviously in Tokyo right now. We know that Chauncey Billups, Neil O'Shea went down there to Vegas before he left. In your opinion, just how strained, I guess, are things between Dame and the Blazers, or is it sort of just everyone's put on notice by the urgency this offseason?
I think it's the latter of what you just said. I think for the first time, Damian is letting it be known publicly how he feels about the direction of the team. And, you know, there's been other times in years past Dame has voiced his frustration, but he's handled it internally. Mm. And, you know, him and Neil O'Shea have always had a good relationship as far as being able to communicate things of that nature. But, you know, it's at a point right now where, you know, I think everybody can see it now. This is a new direction he's taking. But where he feels like, you know, taking care of things behind the scenes is not getting it done. And people need to be held accountable, including himself. And so, you know, he's at a position right now where we've never heard him talk about how a roster is not up to par to win at a high level. And not win at a high level is getting to a playoff, first round, second round, championship. That's what he wants. That's what he's always wanted. Mm-hmm. And so now I think he's just applying pressure and trying to make sure that other people within the organization have the same goals that he has.
Which makes a lot of sense because Dame has always been one of the realest players that I've ever covered. He's always told you exactly what he thinks, what he wants, and he's been very open. He wants a title. He wants it in Portland. He's envisioned it. And so we know that that's been a goal of his. And this is feeling like he's keeping people accountable. Now, earlier this week, Norman Powell made the expected move, right, to decline his player option with the Blazers. But we know that Neil Olshey rolled out the red carpet as much as he could when Norm got here from Toronto in an effort to convince him to stay long term. What do you think it's going to come down to for Norm? Is it the money? Is it a fit? Is it a title? What do you think? Where does Norm's head at in this free agency period?
Well, I talked to him briefly and him informing me that he's declined his option, but we didn't get into specifics on what he's looking for in free agency. But what I'll say is, like, obviously money is going to be up there. Mm. You know, this is a guy that this is a guy that wants to get paid. He's 28. He's had a hell of a season, and you know, it's time to be compensated for that. So I wouldn't, you know, this is just me speculating. I don't think, you know, we're going to say winning's going to trump getting paid. I think it's time for him to cash out. With that being said, you know, there's other suitors out there, and there are going to be teams out there, maybe like the Dallas Mavericks, mm-hmm. who are going to take a hard look at him. You know, you have to wonder if position matters. You know, him playing his natural position at two matters, because if he resigns here and they keep the roster intact, is what it sounds like they're trying to do, or the start lineup that is, then I think Norm has a decision to make. Is he okay? Is he comfortable playing three full time? So those are things that he's going to have to weigh. But I would definitely think that money is going to trump all other things.
Yeah, he deserves to get paid. He had a heck of a season, made an instant impact with the Blazers. He's been on a title team before. So that all makes sense. At some point, you want to be compensated for your hard work. I think everybody can appreciate that. Now, you mentioned your time in Vegas. So you were there covering Team USA. Obviously, a lot of the attention here in Portland went towards Dame and what was happening with the Blazers. But Team USA is now in Tokyo. We had opening ceremonies earlier today, in fact. And you were there for the two exhibition losses that Team USA took, which, you know, the entire basketball world was like, oh, it's chaos. They're not coming back from it. What's your take? How much, like, tell us what you learned about Team USA from Vegas and how it may impact their play or where they stand in Tokyo.
I really do think they're going to be okay. And the reason I say that is that, you know, yes, the world has caught up. This is not, you know, 15, 20 years ago when we were blowing these teams out by 80, 90 points. Not saying that still won't happen, but look, The team they had at that point, they had 2.5 practices before they played those exhibition games. Those other teams have been practicing, I should say, for 2.5 weeks. Nigeria, I actually watched Nigeria practice in the Bay Area for a day, and they're looking good. They were looking good, and so you know they were just in sync. USA wasn't prepared, and I know we want to feel like we're just so much superior where we can just throw out players out there with no preparation, no practice, no time to get continuity and think they're going to go out there and blow the competition out. We're beyond those days. Yeah. Now, I do think, you know, practice time, these guys are ready. I think they'll go out there and they'll produce for us. And so I wasn't alarmed, but I think what those two exhibition losses showed me is that, yes, the rest of the world has caught up. But not at the degree that I think everybody's trying to make it out to be, like Team USA can't get it done without, you know. I think with the same proper practice time, practice session, continuity, I don't think it'd be a problem. And you have to equate to the fact that a lot of these teams, you know, especially Australia, Spain, they have a roster that they've been together for a while. You know, going on a decade. So they're used to playing with each other. So, you know, you just got to give Team USA some time.
So, Chris, you talked about, like, teams that we used to have, you know, Team USA's. I think of the Dream Team, obviously, and I know a lot of people do, in terms of blowing other countries out. And, you know, watching enough documentaries and reading enough books, it was very obvious that the tension, competitive tension between Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, all of these legends led to them to kind of find a team groove. And it's almost as if there didn't have to be a really loud voice to lead everybody on the team. But I wonder with this team where you have two guys like Damian Lillard and Kevin Durant, who on their teams are the clear-cut leaders, who has the loudest voice in the room? Is it the players? Is it Popovich when it comes to either practice or in-game? Is there a guy whose voice kind of rises above everything when these kind of tense situations happen?
That's a good question. Off the top of my head, I'm just thinking about the roster. I don't really see a vocal leader. It's going to be Pop. And if you look at Pop's teams in San Antonio, he's that vocal leader as well for that team. And that's rare. That's rare. You usually have that one guy who's going to command the locker room with his voice and his presence. Team USA has leaders. Dame is a leader. KD in his regard, as far as, you know, he was kind of one of the main ones who were recruiting players. But that natural vocal leader, that's probably going to be Pop. I mean, who we got coming up there? You got Jrue Holiday. Mm-hmm. You got Chris Middleton and Devin Booker. So, yeah, you still – I can't think of a vocal guy. Not to necessarily think they're going to need that. You know, maybe if they're still not finding their groove and they're struggling in Olympic play, maybe we'll see somebody. I got somebody. We're talking about vocal. How can we forget this guy? It's Draymond Green.
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
How can we forget him?
How could we?
There you go. There you go. That's the guy.
I don't know.
The number one vocal leader on that team.
But see, like, Draymond's pretty quiet, don't you think?
Oh, right. Yeah. See, like, I haven't seen that moment with Draymond on the court where, like, everybody, like, I mean, if you're on NBA Twitter, you remember that moment or that meme now where Draymond is in KD's ear and he's doing like the huge talk and KD's just kind of shaking his head like, yeah. It's like, I haven't seen that from him in games that I've watched and everything. I guess that's what kind of came up. But I mean, it makes sense that Pop would be the vocal guy. That's kind of his natural role.
But also, I don't think we would see any player kind of like let the teammate have it in an exhibition. You know what I mean? It's like they understand they only had 2.5 practice leading up to that point. And so you don't want to go off and start kind of, I wouldn't say going off on people, but you don't want to just show a sign of frustration. And then that's going to lead everybody to thinking like, oh, this team is in trouble. Like they're really concerned. Like, no, they understand what they're up against. They know they need time to gel. And so they don't want to get people to start overreacting.
I mean, that makes sense. We'll see it in action for the first time in Tokyo on Sunday at, wait for it, 5 a.m. Pacific. Chris, are you covering this stuff virtually like I am?
I think I'm gonna be chilling for the most part. We got people at Yahoo out there and covering it, and so they're gonna do a phenomenal job. I might peek in with some players from time to time and check in, but for the most part, I'm gonna try to lay low.
I don't blame you. You worked hard this season, and we appreciate the time that you always make for us here on AJ and Dusty. Very, very grateful for it. But I hope more than that, you enjoy. 6 days until the draft. So I hope you can catch some rest, relaxation in that time, my friend. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Anytime, AJ. You take care.
It was Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. Very busy man. If you follow him during the season, he is everywhere and has a lot of good insight on players. Gave us some good stuff there about where Damian Lillard is, the roster, what Norman Powell is looking for in free agency. So we're going to recap that next on 1080 The Fan. You're listening to AJ and Dusty.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. We just talked with Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. Gave us some insight into, you know, Damian Lillard holding the Blazers accountable publicly. Was the two words I was trying to get out there.
I do love on the text line, everybody, because we ended on talking about Draymond Green in the Olympics and everything. People are already on the text line like, you know, Draymond's there to recruit Dame to Golden State.
I mean, tampering season is real.
Oh, gosh.
Tampering season is real. Do they apply to Tokyo? I mean, like, did the NBA rule, you know?
Well, you think that I've always thought that, too, when it comes to the Olympic Games, because you're right. This is like the fertile ground for it.
Absolutely.
When they're all the way. But like I always thought, too, do you think the NBA hires like a mole to like be on the staff?
Like on the staff?
Yeah. To just kind of like sit in the edges of it and just like listen to what's going on and everything. That would be a very NBA kind of thing to do.
It would be very sneaky.
Sneaky.
But maybe. I'm here for it. I'm here for the tampering season.
Also, I would not want that job, and I would be terrible at it.
Could you imagine
the NBA Olympic mole?
What's your like strategy of trying to listen into a conversation you're not a part of? Like, are you just like a stand on the fringes and like lean, or would you like get right in the middle of it and be like, "Oh, interesting," you know, like try to play like you're on their side? What's your strategy?
I think first, what you do is, you know, you probably got some direct orders from Silver who's telling you, like, look, here's the guys we want to look at. You need to try to target them. And you go, okay, fine. So you go over there and you try to make friends with that guy
by being buddy.
Oh, yeah. You be his rebounder.
I wish I had the button thing. I don't have the dusty button thing.
Oh, the buddy.
The buddy.
I got to find that guy over there.
Yeah, well, this is what happens when Dusty's gone. We can't find the button when we need it.
How about this one?
Somebody got to go.
It's the buddy.
Could be this one.
When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt.
No, that's not it.
Bad boys.
Still no.
I would be Damian Lillard's rebounder. And then he'd trust me. I'd gain his trust.
Yep.
And then we would be boys. We would be super tight at the Olympics.
Naturally.
He would probably invite me to lunch with the other guys.
Oh.
And as conversation went on, I'd probably get the scoop, and then I'd get on my old 1960s huge spyware radio thing and correspond back to the NBA. Hey, here's what's happening.
Oh, man.
Here's what's happening in Tokyo.
There you go. I think it's a good strategy. I don't like your odds of pulling it off, but I like the strategy.
In fact, I don't think I'd get along with any of the NBA players.
Oh, my gosh.
I think they would immediately...
They'd be like, nah, he's not one of us.
This guy is annoying.
Suspect or sus.
He is sus.
Say.
He's cap.
He's sus.
Or that's not right.
That's not. I don't think that's it.
Do you know? Well, I heard I that recently with Nurk,
improper
right?
Proper use of the word.
Nurk did the cap thing.
Yeah, yeah.
With the whole True Hoop report.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first time I had heard of
Henry
cap.
Abbott with the yeah. bot. Nurk's a pretty good troll on Twitter.
Yeah, he is.
When he wants to be.
He's right out there.
I'm here for it. Anyway, Dr. Chris Haynes. How did we get on this topic?
NBA
oh, Draymond Green. There we go. Okay.
Hell
okay.
yeah.
All right. Anyway, talk to Chris. He's not concerned. Team USA men's basketball gets their Olympics underway on Sunday, 5 a.m. If you're an early bird, get on up for it. Playing France.
Ooh, that's a good game right there.
I know. I think it's going to be fun. I think I might try to wake up for it, actually. I mean, 5's like pretty early. Yeah. But my gosh, to watch the U.S. women's soccer team, you got to like stay up until 3:30 because it starts at 1:30.
Yeah, France. Brutal. I mean, that's even when you look at the rosters head to head, there's a lot of matchup nightmares that the U.S. team's going to have, especially with Rudy Gobert and Nicolas Batum. I mean, it's going to be competitive.
And how big of an impact do we think Middleton, Holiday, and Booker are going to be? Those guys have. And how awkward was that plane ride?
Oh, yes.
My gosh. Did they like have separate wings, you think?
I would imagine people sat on opposite sides. I mean, I know Monty Williams was kind of buddy-buddy after the game going to the other locker room and everything. But if I was Devin Booker, I'd be pissed off.
Right. I mean, it hurts. Losing is the worst. It's not fun. Anyway, so we talked to him about Team USA. He thinks that, you know, they're good. He thinks they're good. Vegas was not something to panic over.
That's
also
something
talked about,
you tend to have, too. You tend to think that. You were on the...
Yeah, I told you. No panic.
Steady as it goes.
Relax.
Training.
It's an exhibition game. It's like talking about practice. Don't talk about practice. Talking about practice.
I think
practice game.
I think for a lot of NBA fans... I mean, that was the reason I asked Chris about that was the whole, like, who's the vocal leader?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think for a lot of NBA fans that were so used to the dream team, the redeem team, and then whatever you want to call what 2012 was, which was also an incredibly good team, you brought together these just, like, violently competitive athletes.
Mm.
And I mean, it's hard to say that this group of guys are not competitive. They're NBA players. They're always going to be competitive. But like, you know, you watch those documentaries about the Dream Team where they would have practices where Michael Jordan would be like gunning for Magic Johnson. Like he'd be trying to embarrass him in practices. And I think about like, is that the kind of stuff they're going through in their exhibition games? Or is it just like, man, we are exhausted. We'll go out there and try our best, but.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it. See, they sang KD happy birthday, like all of Team USA. It's not his birthday.
That was awesome.
His face was like, what is going on? So spirits are high in Tokyo. That's what I'm saying. Opening ceremony is happening this morning. And anyway, so if you missed anything with Chris Haynes, you can listen to it on the podcast. He talks about how Norman Powell is rightfully going to prioritize getting paid this offseason.
This is the time.
And I think he should. I absolutely think he should. I think it'll be interesting. Obviously, the Blazers trying to re-sign him. We'll see if they have the money and the stability to do so. Speaking of money and stability, college football is in shambles. Or is it? I like it. So what we're talking about, Texas, Oklahoma, they want out of the Big 12. Headed to the SEC is where they want to go, and they could inform the Big 12 as early as Monday.
Yeah.
Like formally, hey, we're out, we're done, and 2025, I believe, is when the like media rights deal or whatever with the Big 12 expires, so that's sort of when they're looking at moving.
Mm-hmm.
But if they formally say, hey, we want out, then you start negotiating, what does it cost if you get out early, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and what's so crazy about this, too, is the fact that it's been 6 months
I know.
In the making.
But, like, nobody in the Big 12 knew.
No, nobody
even knew.
Nobody even in the media knew. I mean, maybe some people in the media knew. Obviously, the guy from the Houston Chronicle knew. They leaked the story and everything. But, like, the very fact that they were able to keep this under wraps for so long is one of the impressive parts of this to me. But the other impressive part, I would say, is the fact that even though we've been talking about this for many years now, the idea of Texas relocating, whether it was to the Pac-10 then or the Pac-12 now, the SEC, the Big Ten, what have you. You know, we never really thought about the idea that this was the perfect time for them to do it because you are going through an economic hardship right now with the COVID-19 virus. Mm. You are seeing lower admission rates.
Yep.
You are seeing a lack of revenue coming within this next year, which if you think that doesn't hit Texas, it hits Texas.
Oh, yes.
This is the most opportune time for them to bail out of the Big 12 and get the check, because we know it's going to be harder in the SEC to make that playoff.
Yep.
I mean, the Big 12, if you're Texas, the hardest games you have every year are Oklahoma and sometimes Oklahoma State.
Right.
So, I mean, I thought that was something to kind of consider a little bit, was the idea that, like, look, the coronavirus might have pushed this over the edge for them.
Yeah.
6 months ago, we were in the heart of this thing. And that's probably when they looked at the balance sheet and said, we got to do something right now, because this is not going to be good for us coming into the future.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. College football, as we know it, just changing rapidly in the last month. But somebody who has been at the forefront of this Oklahoma, Texas, Big 12 SEC stuff is Sam Kahn Jr. with The Athletic. And he's going to join us next to break it all down. You are listening to AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan. Here is Will with SportsCenter.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is one of those songs that just screams Friday to me right now. Till the weekend. You said you wanted to hear me sing. That's all you're going to get. Anyway, we got football to talk about, because we are in the thick of media days. And yesterday, chaos in the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma apparently sending letters as soon as Monday, a few days away, saying they do not intend to renew the grant of rights agreement when it expires in 2025. So the implications of this are huge, to say the least. Someone who has been all over it, Sam Kahn Jr. with The Athletic, senior writer, and my favorite maybe Twitter bio descriptor in a while, Texpert. So Sam, thank you so much for joining us. We need a Texpert right now, because we're talking about Oklahoma, but Texas, the big money maker in this one. So describe to me how the events of the last 24 hours have unfolded from your perspective, and the ramifications of them.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fascinating, to say the least, and unexpected, because we've heard no rumblings of this up until Wednesday, when a few minutes before Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M coach, went to the mic at SC Media Days, the news dropped that out of SC Media Days, by the way, by a reporter at East Chronicle who was there, that Texas and Oklahoma reached out to the SEC about joining the conference. And that's such a massive story. It took a minute just, I think, to get our heads wrapped around that idea, because you're talking two major brands in college football, two of the winningest programs in college football, joining what is already perceived to be the most powerful conference. And it's a massive move that has after effects that I think will shake throughout the country, as we're already starting to see. So it's been fascinating to find out, A, just the shock of it, B, is it real, which it has clearly is, and see what's next. And what's next is right now, is, like you said earlier, Texas and Oklahoma are going to send a letter next week to the Big 12, letting them know that they don't intend to renew their grant of rights agreement. And then that starts the clock on them being able to leave. And the SEC will be able to make a move to vote and invite them if they so wish to do so, which I think all indications are they will. And then the other eight remaining teams in the Big 12 are going to have to either hold strong on their own and add some members, or find the home and scramble to other conferences. So that's the part, I think, that is going to be the most interesting over the next few weeks.
Yeah, we are just starting to see sort of the ripple effects, if you will, of this huge boulder that Texas and Oklahoma have dropped in the pond, the ocean of college football. Now, you mentioned that this has been, sounds like, in the works for months, and yet no one hears about it until yesterday during media days. The timing, very funny, with A&M being the one at the podium. But what has been the reaction from other ADs in the Big 12 since the news dropped?
Exasperation, frustration, disappointment. I think they understand that this puts their livelihoods at stake. This is going to have a major financial impact on these universities, because the Big 12 broadcast contracts with Texas and Oklahoma are worth a lot. And last year, the Big 12 sent $37.7 million to each school for its media rights. It ain't going to be that much without those two. So that means that's why I think you're going to see the potential of those schools, you know, exploring other conferences where they can still remain at a strong eight-figure media rights distribution. But they're stunned. They're disappointed. I've talked to a few that have said that they were concerned about this type of thing in recent months, just because when the Big 12 went to Fox and ESPN a couple of months ago to discuss early options about renegotiating its contract when it comes up, that the reaction from ESPN and Fox was pretty tepid and they weren't really interested in talking. And that only came a few months after ESPN gave the SEC a massive deal for its Tier 1 rights to the tune of $300 million a year to the conference. And so if you saw that, okay, the SEC feels the ESPN feels this way about the SEC and it feels a different way about the Big 12, I think that's kind of what helped spark Texas and Oklahoma to look around and certainly has destabilized this conference.
And Sam, in your article, one of the conferences that you're talking about reaching out to, it's the Pac-12, and, you know, we're home of the Oregon Ducks radio broadcast. And, you know, you speak about this, saying that there could be this 20-team merger. It was discussed during Thursday's Big 12 leadership call. And, you know, I know we're talking about dollars and cents here, and, you know, the reason behind this is financial. But at the same time, there's something to consider about a geographical and a cultural fit between a lot of these teams. And so when it comes to considering that with these mergers, especially with the Big 12 thinking they want to merge with the Pac-12, is that even in consideration at this point? Like, the idea of how are we going to fit together a coherent message where everybody's going to buy in? Or, I mean, is this just all about money at this point?
I think it's definitely the latter. The cultural fit and impact is certainly something to be considered. But why is Texas and OU making this move for money? Is the SEC, does the SEC need Texas and OU? No, it doesn't. But the money, the financial windfall that it's going to create for those two universities and all the other SEC universities when they are able to renegotiate the contract is huge. So then when the SEC puts itself that far ahead of the Pac financially, the other leagues are going to look to try to keep up. And the Pac-12 obviously wants to keep up with the other Power 5 conferences. I don't know how interested the Pac-12 is. This is, like we said, this is something the Big 12 leadership discussed yesterday about approaching the Pac-12 about, you know, how interested the Pac-12 is to bring all these schools. I don't know if they're interested in bringing eight schools. Maybe they're interested in bringing a few of them. But that's something I think remains to be seen. But clearly this is something the Big 12 remaining eight schools are looking at, because they've got to figure out a way to survive. Because I think if the Big 12 stays with just eight members and they try to add four teams or six teams from other conferences, whether it be the American or add an independent like BYU, that does not bring them the same media rights money that Texas and OU do. So I think the money is ultimately what drives this thing. And the question is, does the Pac-12 feel like, for its long-term survival, does it need to add more schools to keep up to counter the move that the SEC makes? And if the answer is yes, then yeah, you're probably going to explore bringing some of these Big 12 schools in.
Money talks. It always does, especially in college football. But the road for Texas and Oklahoma is far from paved for their exit, right? Like, we are in the very beginning stages of intentions here. But the interesting part to me has been, it seems almost like they're aren't any roadblocks, right? Like, no one's reaction to this has been like, oh my gosh, can they do it? It's been, they're going to do it, which I covered the SEC. I lived and worked in Fayetteville for a few years, and I could see there being a little bit, at least, of resistance from a team like Arkansas, from a team like A&M, from a team like Missouri, simply from a recruiting standpoint. So what have you heard as far as the SEC's desire to welcome Texas and Oklahoma into their fold?
Definitely A&M is against it for obvious reasons. They left the Big 12 to get away from Texas, and so they certainly don't want them back in. That said, I was curious as well whether Arkansas or Missouri might be against it, but we haven't heard significant resistance across the conference to it. And I think, again, it goes back to the money, because the SEC paid out $45 million a year to each institution for meteorites last year. If you add Texas and OU, you're probably looking at $60, $70, $80 million a year. You're essentially going to give each member school the equivalent of a solid Power Five athletic budget every year simply for its meteorites once they renegotiate this thing. And so the question is that more important to the schools, or is the competitive balance of recruiting and being able to win more important to these schools? And if they vote 13-1 to admit Texas and OU, then I think we have our answer. More important. But that that's the hurdle, is in order for Texas and OU to get in, they need 11 of the 14 SEC schools to say yes. So we know A&M is a no. Are there three other no's out there to prevent it from happening? And my guess is, based on talking to people over the last few days, that we would not, I don't think we would have gotten this far if Greg Sankey and the SEC didn't feel like they had enough folks to make it happen.
So where does
Go ahead.
Oh, well, you can finish your thought, because I was going to ask something more about the Longhorn Network. I mean, that's the thing that kind of jumps to my mind when we talk about meteorites and everything with the Longhorns joining the SEC, is that, you know, the Longhorn Network is its own universe. And I know the SEC is finishing up some meteorites they're going to have in a couple of years with CBS. So it's like, how are they going to envelop them? Or is this going to be some kind of thing where, you know, the SEC just views Texas almost like Notre Dame and NBC. It's like, you know, don't touch it. That's their thing. And, you know, whatever.
No, I think that they're going to have to find a way to either to fold it in to the SEC network or essentially, you know, break it down. And here's the thing that makes it a little easier, is that ESPN owns both the SEC network and the Longhorn Network. So, yeah, yes, the contract runs through 2031, but the fact that it's owned by the same network, I think that helps alleviate some of the issues, and the money that Texas gets from it, which is $15 million a year, I think they'll probably more than make up for it in what the eventual SEC media rights will look like after a contract is renegotiated. But all the SEC's third-tier rights belong to the SEC network, and the SEC typically treats all its members the same. It's not an uneven playing field, so to speak, like it is in the Big 12, where Texas can have its Longhorn network and then everybody else has their own thing. That once they get in, I would be shocked if Texas was allowed to have one. So I think they would find a way to figure that out.
Well, we are just at the beginning of this, because like I said, the ramifications feel like they're just going to get bigger and bigger, and they could affect us out west here. So, Sam, thank you so much for taking the time in the midst of a very chaotic 24 hours. We really appreciate it. Sam, the senior writer and Texpert, which may be just how I introduce you when I hope you come on the show next, because I'm sure we got a whole lot more as this unfolds.
Thanks so much. I appreciate y'all having me.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. So that was Sam, Sam Kahn Jr. You can follow him on Twitter at S Kahn Jr. And he has some great pieces up on The Athletic right now to break down all of this, its implications for the Big 12, the SEC, and potentially how it affects us, because George Kliavkoff weighing in. We're going to talk about that next on AJ and Dusty. You're listening to 1080 The Fan. So just when you started getting used to the Pac-12, should we maybe talk about the Pac-16?
Pac-20!
Pac-20? What are we talking here?
25, 30!
Pack all of it.
Hell yeah.
Pack the West. And the middle.
Pack everything.
And some of the East?
Gosh, I got to tell you, a pack 20 to me would...
I cannot imagine.
It would kind of suck. I mean, you know, one thing we didn't really expand on with Sam, gracious man coming on the show, because he's like... He was breaking this stuff. I was DMing with him before. He was like, you got to give me a couple minutes. Like, I'm talking to more sources here. I'm like, oh, gosh. You know, the whole idea of having a Pac-20 and then also trying to figure out, well, if we do have these two pretty much Premier League conferences, where does that leave a place like the ACC?
Yeah,
because then at that point, Clemson just has their hands up like, well, what do we do here? Do we then envelop Notre Dame and a couple of other maybe like Coastal Carolina, UCF, a couple of those other schools? And then we make like a huge coastal empire and then it just turns into three leagues.
Yeah,
That's the scary part to me in all this is that.
Oh, it's chaos. We have no idea what's going to happen.
Oh, complete chaos. And it turns into a regional game, not a national game, meaning that, like, if you do want to watch games like what the Big Ten has, you know, you want to watch your Ohio State, you want to watch your Michigan game, that might not be in the cards for you, considering that your TV provider might say, no, you're going to watch Texas, Oregon, or no, you're going to watch the Battle of the Oranges and Blacks, Oklahoma State, Oregon State. So.
There you go. Well, there's a lot to be figured out. George Kliavkov tweeting, just when I thought my first month under the on the job could not get more interesting. Welcome. Welcome, my friend.
Really?
Because, we've got reports already. Let me get my sources right here. Let's see.
Waiting
Jordan
for
Clark. Oh, Jeremy Clark. Excuse me. Jeremy Clark. Of hornedfrogblitz.com.
TCU.
Yep. And 247 Sports Network tweeted out late yesterday evening, that TCU, Baylor, and Texas Tech have already reached out to the Pac-12. Meh. TCU, Baylor, and Texas Tech.
Let me tell you something. If you're a California school, that should scare the crap out of you in terms of recruiting.
The recruiting implications are like the last concern, which says something, because recruiting is huge. It is everything in college football, right? And this changes everybody's footprint from a recruiting standpoint. And that's why I asked him about Arkansas and Missouri, because we know A&M is going to be against it. But Arkansas and Missouri, Oklahoma... That is prime.
Yep.
Arkansas and Oklahoma share a border. They share markets. Like when I worked in Fayetteville, we were broadcast in Oklahoma.
Hmm.
And so those two states, real tight, that's where Arkansas dips into quite a bit. So, yeah, George Kliavkov, welcome to the job.
Yeah, really?
Because now you're having to deal with not only, you got the name, image, and likeness thing, which is huge. Not a bad thing, but a huge thing that everyone's navigating. You have the
television rights,
which are a mess. Yeah. You got to deal with that. And now you're fielding calls from TCU, Baylor, and Texas Tech, at least, about joining your conference.
Now, I will say this. If you do get schools like that to come on in and join, and you do form something like a Pac-16 or a 15 or what have you, whatever, the whole TV problem might get solved a little bit easier, because then you might start to get major networks that would be more attracted by the idea of dipping into that Texas market and getting those type of viewers. Now, that's kind of like a, you know, one solution might actually provide the other.
Totally.
But you know, you got a feel for this guy who basically has just tried to come into this job, and his first real kind of key thing to do was just monetize the league,
right?
Like, figure out how to monetize this thing. You're bleeding money. You have a headquarters in San Francisco nobody cares about, and you have a network that shows men's water polo during the day,
and like six people can watch.
And six people can watch it. If you have DirecTV, good luck. So, I mean, he's got one of the biggest challenges here. And, you know, I go back to the recruiting thing, too, with SC. Mm-hmm. You know, think about what SC is going through right now, that they have to compete with a school like Oregon, where they are just eating their lunch right now in Southern California and coming down there and, you know, making their footprint known. Now you're going to have potentially schools like Texas, Texas Tech, excuse me, TCU, and others that will start to dive into that area. So it's just, I mean, the implications are huge, and we won't know until, you know, this thing really starts rolling out 2-3 years, but
yeah,
scary for me nonetheless.
Yeah. You know who would love it though?
Mm.
Dusty.
Oh yeah.
Chaos.
Oh, Dusty.
Chaos.
Dusty's probably on his plane right now, just clapping.
Excited. Just stoked for the chaos that is college football.
Super League.
And next week, right? Pac-12 Media Days.
Indeed, Tuesday.
We'll get to talk to Mr. Kliavkov himself and his thoughts on the whole thing, because mark my words, we are just figuring out what this all means and a lot still to unpack. So, and there's that on a Friday. Coming back, it's, I can never remember what we call this. Always awkward, always entertaining.
Always awkward.
I'm always stressed out. Anyway, weekend would you rather? It is next. You're listening to AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.